Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Pesachim is daf Vav. Okay. We left ourselves off yesterday discussing a lengthy brisa. The brisa wanted to know the basic halacha regarding this issue in the Torah, Bali Rabba Yamatze. Meaning, we know the Torah says that you're not allowed to own chametz on Pesach. So one of the three prohibitions regarding chametz. Chametz on Pesach is also ba'achila. Chametz is also aser ba'anah. It's also aser the ownership. What the Torah refers to as bayirah bayimatzah. You're not allowed to neither see nor own chametz. Now, seeing chametz is in of itself not the issue. The issue is really ownership. The Torah prohibits ownership. Most of yesterday, just a quick recap, very quick. Most of yesterday was dedicated to the topic of the Isser Chametz from Chatzos, meaning on Erev Pesach we know that the Torah prohibits Chametz from midday and onward. How do we know that? So that was yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf was nearly entirely dedicated to this topic of where in the Torah does it say that Chametz is Asr on Erev Pesach from Chatzos and onward. There's no clear source in the Torah for this, so the Gemara arrived at this conclusion from basically a half a dozen different perspectives. Okay, that was yesterday's daf. But today's daf really is going to be a daf dedicated to this topic of ownership, meaning that we're not allowed to own chametz on Pesach, and we're going to try to give some better parameters of what that means, what exactly is the definition of ownership. A lot of interesting discussions are coming up over the course of today's daf regarding defining what ownership actually is, and so let's get underway. Let's get right into it. We started off the discussion. I'm going to take a short step backwards. I'm going to go over the Braisa again, as really the Braisa is going to be the segue to our discussion. So I'm going to start from nearly the top of the Amud, like about five lines from the top of the Amud, Tana Rabbanan. I know we did this yesterday, but again, just to get ourselves set up for today's daf, we need to see the Braisa again. So Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara in Hamad Beis. Shivas yamim sor lo yimatzei bevateichem. You're not allowed to have soor in your houses. So the key word over here, a couple of key words in the pasuk, in Parshas Bo, one of them is soor. Soor is another word for chametz. Okay, we'll talk later on in the Masechta exactly what the difference is between soor versus chametz. But again, just for our purposes, just know that soor is chametz. So lo yimatzei bevateichem, you're not allowed to have in your homes. The key word over here is bias. Meaning the Torah says you're not allowed to have chametz in your house. Matal malomar. And on the other hand, there's another pasuk which basically says the same thing, that you're not allowed to see seor or chametz in your gvul. So in other words, so over here it's an expanded border. Meaning the first pasuk that we quoted said bias. Over here in this pasuk it says the words gvul. So lefisha nemar lo yurecha seor shocha tarav al taror shocherim v'shogavoa. So we know the halach is that's only your chametz, meaning the chametz that belongs to you is prohibited. Chametz, on the other hand, which is owned by somebody else, kept in your house, that's fine. Or shogavoa. Let's say it's chametz of Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, it's not your chametz, it's the Beis HaMikdash's chametz. Beis HaMikdash, basically, the way to view it is like, almost like a corporate entity. So, in other words, it has chametz. Let's say, Bedek HaBayis, that's the example that Rashi gives over here. So, the chametz of the Bedek HaBayis that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, so again, it's not your chametz. So, therefore, you're not going to be in violation of Bayir HaBayimatzeh. Yachol, so I might have thought, the Gemara is now, the Bryce is about to present a Havamina. Yatmin v'yikaba pigdonis men anachri. So if so maybe I'll hide chametz in my house. Meaning I'll own it, but I'll hide it. I don't see it. Right? A very childish way to look at this issue of ownership. Meaning if I don't see it, therefore I don't own it. The Gemara says that's a Havamina. Yachol yatmin v'yikaba pigdonis men anachri. Or let's say like this. Let's say, not that it's my chametz that I'm hiding, but let's say it's chametz of a non-Jew that I'm a custodian over. I'm a shomer, which means I've accepted responsibility for it. So, tamalama lo yimatzei. So the Torah says lo yimatzei, which means, nope, that's no good. Meaning that once it's mine, even if I can't see it, once it's mine, we're going to talk about this a lot this morning, once it's mine, meaning even if I don't own it, but I have liability for it, so then I'm in violation of lo yimatzei. How about a nachri that's totally subservient to you? Right? He's your subject. So the Torah says, meaning that I'll say it bluntly. If I own a nachri, who owns chametz? So that's basically my chametz. So therefore, I'm also in violation of lo yimatzei. So now, Chametz in the house is prohibited. That's what the Torah says. Lo yimaseh bevateichem. How about if it's not in my house proper, but let's say it's somewhere else in my property, right? I own a cave, I own a pit, right? I own something else. Maybe the chametz is out there. Maybe that's okay. So tamalomer b'chol gvulecha. That's the other pasuk. The other pasuk in Parshas Bo teaches us no, that even if it's in your gvul, you're still going to be responsible for the chametz. You'll still be liable for bayira bayimatze. V'adayin in the omer bevatim over mishum bayira bayimatze. Uval yatmin vayikaba pigdonos min anachri. I can now still make the following argument, and that is that in my house I'm in violation of bayira bayimatze, not to hide, not to be a custodian, bigvulin. And when it comes to outside my house, meaning somewhere else on my property, so that my chametz I can't have, but somebody else's chametz is fine. How do I know that I can cross these two halachas? Meaning the halacha of being a custodian not only is limited to my house, but also is true when anywhere else on my property, and the halacha that chametz that's not mine, that's not my property, is also going to be okay if it's chametz that's not mine, that's in my house. So basically, we're going to try to basically cross-pollinate these two psukim. So the Gemara says, not a problem. Tam alamr sa'or sa'or, l'gzera shava. So the Braisa says that, yep, we could do that. Why can we do that? Because we have the word sa'or occurring in both psukim. We have now created a gzera shava. It's basically like an open port between these two psukim. So now whatever halach is true by one pasuk is true by the other pasuk as well. Sor bebatim, sor leimatze bevatechem. I'm sorry. Yeah, nemar sor bebatim, sor leimatze bevatechem. But nemar sor begvul, lo yira lecha sor. Ma sor amor bebatim over mishan ba yira ba yimatze va yatmim va yikaba begonos. Min anachri. Av sor hamor begvulin. Over mishum bayira bayimatze vayatmim bayikaba el pikdonos min anachri. Good. So all these halachas that you can't be the owner of chametz, and you can't even be the custodian of chametz. That's true both in your house and out in your field. Umas or amor begvul shachat haroa aval ataroa shal achem v'shal gavoa. Afsor amor bebatim shachat haroa aval taroa shal achem v'shal gavoa. And just like the heter that in the field, if the chametz doesn't belong to me, that's fine. So too in my house, if the chametz doesn't belong to me, that's fine. Okay. It's interesting. The Torah, I've also spent some time thinking about this. I don't have a good response. But the Torah separates bais and gvul. I'm not really sure why that is. And where else do we find that there's such a demarcation between bais versus gvul? Yeah, had we not done the Gemara, I would have said anything. All your properties are bais. And for some reason, which I'm not really clear why, there's a distinction. There's a delineation between the two. Okay. Yeah, but and the Gemara is basically assuming that anything outside your house now is not bias per se, but it's gvul. And again, I don't have a precedent. I can't think of a precedent where there's such a distinction. Okay, but that just means I can't think of it. It's out there. Amar Mar. Okay, and now what we're going to do, and this is new terrain for us, so we haven't done this yet, and basically what we're going to do is we're going to go point by point over the Braisa and try to clarify a couple things that were said in the Braisa. I went over the Braisa quickly, but now we're going to try to explore and understand a little bit better. One of the points of the Braisa was, the argument that the Braisa was trying to make is that if I have chametz of a goy that I don't have dominion over, but he's a resident in my house, so then that's lo yimatzei. That's chametz I'm still responsible for. And then the Braisa says, and also, like as a bigger chiddush, if I own the nachri, meaning I have total dominion over the nachri. If you think about it, kapi laya, the Gemara says, what do you mean? Shouldn't the argument go the other way? Which is that if I have full ownership over the Nachri, of course all his chametz belongs to me. It's the bigger chiddush would be if I don't own the Nachri, but he resides in my house, and basically he's using my house as his house, so his chametz now I'm responsible for. That would be the bigger chiddush. So Amar Abaye Epoch. So Abaye says, you're right. So what Abaye does is he takes out his pen and he rewrites the Braisa. We're going to have to flip around the Braisa so that the Braisa would now progress from a smaller chiddush to a bigger chiddush. Rava amar lo lo motepach. So Rava says, no, I'd rather not. I'd rather leave the braisa as it is. V'areshakai. And the point that the braisa is making, it's not teaching us a stringency, but rather a leniency. Okay, and now we get to a bigger chiddush, which is, your chametz is prohibited. Somebody else's chametz, meaning a non-Jew's chametz, that's okay. And now we're going to hear this. Now it comes out to be a big chiddush. Ein li ela b'nachrish ol kivash tov ein sharim cha b'chatzer. Nachrish kivash tov ein sharim cha b'chatzer minayin tamalomer lo yimatzei. Well, the way Rava understands the Brisa now, what the Brisa is doing is not saying it's not giving us a chumra. In fact, it's giving us a really big kula. Let's say I have a non-Jew living in my house. And let's go even one step further. Let's say I have full dominion over the non-Jew, right? And let's say now he brings a sandwich into my house on Pesach. So how do we treat that sandwich? Is that my sandwich or his sandwich? That's the chiddush of the Brisa. The chiddush of the Brisa is that if he bought it and it's his sandwich, and even though I have full dominion over this non-Jew, I'm not in violation of Bayi Rabbi Yimatze. He can eat a sandwich even in my house on Pesach. So the Gemara says, that's fine. That's an okay pshat in the Braisa. I'll tell you the problem. The problem is the Pasuk. Meaning, how can the Braisa be teaching me a heter and quoting a Pasuk that directs to an Isser? Meaning, lo yira'eh. So mishum shenem alacha alacha trei zimne. So the Gemara says, well, we're focusing on the wrong part of the pasuk. The part of the pasuk we were focusing on was lo yira'eh. So Rava says, no, that's not the part of the pasuk we should be focused on. We should be cluing into the lacha, meaning only chametz that's owned by you, but meaning directly by you. If you have dominion over a non-Jew and the non-Jew is owning chametz, that's too far separated from you. To be in violation of the assister of Bayer or Bayer Matzeh, you must be in direct ownership of the chametz. Okay, good. Amamar. Yachol yatmin v'yikabal pikdonos ben anachrim tamalom alo yimatzeh. Okay, what do we say? We said that you can't hide the chametz, meaning that's not going to help. Meaning if you own the chametz, and I'll bury it underground for Pesach. That's ridiculous, meaning that doesn't do anything. In fact, it's just interesting. What's the havamina? I'm guessing the havamina is that the pasuk, if you read it literally, the Torah says lo yera'eh, meaning you shouldn't see chametz. So as a havamina, what the braisa thought is, well, if I don't see it, meaning I hide it, so then I'm not in violation. Okay, anyway, but we all know it's a function of ownership. So hiding is not going to help. And what did the braisa say? And also kaba pikdonos minan achrim, being a custodian. So in other words, the non-Jew is about to go away. He's got a lot of chametz in his house. He knocks on your door. Can you watch my chametz for me? And what is the braisa telling us? That's no good. You're now an owner. You're going to be liable for that chametz. So hamar reisha shochal tarov al tarov shalachirim v'shal gavoa. So now the braisa seems to contradict itself, because the first point the braisa made was your chametz is no good, but other people's chametz in your house is fine. And then the braisa says, if you're custodian over somebody else's chametz, so that's no good, meaning you're in violation of Bayir Abayi Matzeh. So we have a very basic stira in the braisa itself, and here comes in a really significant part of today's daf. Lokasha hadekabel ala achrayus hadelokabel ala achrayus. So the Gemara says we're going to make the following distinction. If you're holding non-Jews chametz in your house over Pesach, the difference between when it's okay and when it's not okay is your personal responsibility and liability for the chametz, which means, and it's very intuitive, meaning that it's not your chametz, you don't own it, but I'm on the hook. Meaning, let's say that I accepted myself custodial responsibility. Okay, something happens to the chametz, I now assume all financial responsibility. Okay, I'm on the hook. So what the braisa then is teaching us is, you're considered owner.
Does it matter what kind of custodian? Yes.
The answer to that question is yes. And it's not clear in the Gemara. I'm going to slow down. The Gemara is going to seem to suggest exactly what level of Shomer we're talking about. Although, as I'm sure you can imagine, the Rishonim are in disagreement exactly at what becomes. Yeah. We'll get to the Gemara in just a moment. The Gemara is going to pretty much pin it down, but still the Rishonim are going to debate. But anyway, but so if I'm a shomer, so even though I'm not the owner, we all understand as a custodian, you don't own it, but because of your personal liability, so therefore on Pesach it says if you own it. Okay. The part of the braisa that says it's okay is talking about where he's storing chametz in your house, but you have no custodial responsibility. You're not a shomer, and you accepted no shmiras. So therefore, it's not yours, and you're not on the hook for it. So the Gemara, now this gets into a very interesting discussion, because essentially now what the Gemara is saying is that custodial responsibility is tantamount to ownership. Now, is that true? Meaning, if just because I'm liable for something, that means I'm necessarily the owner? So wait, because that's the big question, which we're going to address in just a second. But before we address that question, though, Kihad Amar Lei Rava LeBnei Mechuza, Rava instructed the members of Mechuza the following. Okay, in the good old days, how did it work? You had soldiers coming through the town, non-Jewish soldiers, so you had to house them, right? You had a court of the soldiers. Okay, used to be in America that way, but, you know, not for the last 200 years. But, and that means then that you had to have a room for the soldiers, and he stayed in your house, and he ate in your house. So Rava told the members of the Jewish members of B'nai Mechuzah, look, I know you have a room for the soldiers. What you need to do before Pesach is get rid of their chametz. Now, the Gemara doesn't tell us this part of the story, meaning, and you're going to pay for it? Okay, in other words, I'm not sure under, you know, whether they had permission to do so or not, or they had to make restitution. That part of the story, I don't know. But here's what I do know. I mean, the Gemara says it. Why? Kevan de'ilu migna ve'ilu mitbeid birshu saichu kai uvi isu lishlumei kide yalchon dame. Because if stolen or lost, if that chametz is stolen or lost, you're on the hook for it. You're going to have responsibility. You're going to have liability for it. And therefore, kide yalchon dame. And therefore, it's like it is yours. And as a result of that, now you're considered the owner. And that's why you have to get rid of it. The usher. And therefore, it's going to be prohibited. So that was Rava's instructions to the members of B'nai Mechuzah. Okay. And now, good. And by the way, Ben, as I pointed out just a moment ago, what level of shmir is that? Meaning, if you are responsible for loss or theft, so that means that you are a shomer sachar. That means that you're a paid custodian. It sounds like from the Gemara that if you're not a paid custodian, but you're just rather a shomer chinam, sounds like from the Gemara then you don't have to, you're not considered the owner.
So what's your sacha with these soldiers?
Huh?
What's your sacha with these
going? Correct. I don't know. That's an excellent question. Meaning, if, I mean, he says it, if you've stolen or lost, you're responsible. So does that mean the soldiers paid, right, the soldiers paid them for watching? Again, I don't know. But that's certainly what it sounds like from the Gemara. Okay, but now we get to a critical point in the Gemara. Meaning, you're liable. That makes you the owner. So the Gemara says this is subject to a major debate throughout all of Shas. Hanich laman damer davar garin lamamun kamamun dame elaman da amar lav kamamun dame ma'ik alameimar. So the Gemara quotes. This is a Baba Kama discussion. This is coming up in much later on in Shas and in the Babas and in the end of Baba Kama. But in the meantime, however, here's what we need to know right now. Okay, davar hagorim lamamun. Meaning right now, the item per se is not mine, but boy, oh boy, is it going to cost me a lot of money. It could cause me to cost a lot of money. In other words, I'm liable for that item. So is that kimamon or is that not kimamon? Do we right now treat it as real asset, your assets, even though you don't actually own it? But since it could cause a loss for you, since you're liable for that item, do we consider that to be now a real asset in your possession as right here, right now? That's a debate in the Gemara Baba Kama. If you subscribe to the viewpoint of Davar Hagorim Lamamun Kamamun Dami, so then our discussion over here makes perfect sense. I'm a custodian over somebody else's chametz. I've taken responsibility. I'm therefore liable. So if you subscribe to the viewpoint of Davar Hagorim Lamamun Kamamun Dami, so then we understand everything perfectly. Even though I don't own it, but since I'm liable, it's like I own it, and therefore I have to get rid of it before Pesach. Good. But ask the Gemara. I'm sorry. What happened? But if you subscribe to the other viewpoint, that something which you're liable for, you're not it's not considered an asset, your asset, so then how do you understand our entire discussion over here? Just because you're a custodian with custodial responsibility over the item, that doesn't make it yours. So then why would the Gemara say, and why would Rava tell the members of B'nai Mechuza, you got to get rid of it? It's not your chametz. So Shani Hacha, the Amar Lo Yimatzei. So the Gemara says it's different over here. Meaning, in the regular monetary laws of liability, and whether liability creates ownership, we're going to say no, it doesn't. Liability does not create ownership. However, for Pesach, there's a higher threshold, or a lower threshold, I guess, depending on from what perspective you're coming from. But on Pesach, since the Torah describes lo yimatzei, it is not to be found, we're going to extend the definition of what ownership is. Normally, ownership means an asset that I actually own. For Pesach, what we're going to do is we're going to basically broaden the definition of what ownership is, and it's going to include even something that I don't own, but I'm liable for, based on the pasuk of lo yimatzei. Okay, that's basically the Gemara's discussion. Iga da'amri, we're going to do this again, slightly different version, basically same conclusion. Hanich laman damer davar hagarim lamamun lavka mamun dami hainu deitzrech lo yimatzei. The Gemara says, look, the starting point of the second version of this discussion is, I get it. Meaning, you take the standpoint of davar hagarim lamamun lavka mamun dami, that liability does not equal ownership. And meanwhile, if I'm a custodian over somebody else's chametz, I'm liable because of lo yimatzei. That's why the Torah has to go out of its way to say lo yimatzei. Elaman damar kemaman dami lo yimatzei lamali. But if you subscribe to the viewpoint that liability for an item equals ownership, so if that's true, so then why does the Torah even have to say the word lo yimatzei? Meaning, I now know that once I'm liable for something, I become an owner, and therefore the Torah doesn't have to go out of its way to say lo yimatzei. The Torah could have just simply said lo yireh. But why lo yimatzei? So the lo yimatzei lamali itzrich sakadat chamina ho v'chiyisa hadar b'nei la birshur sekai kamash malan. Well, the Gemara says, well, you could have made this argument. Again, this is a havamina. But you could have made the argument. Maybe you were asked to watch chametz. Fine. I did it successfully. Over the course of Pesach, I watched the chametz successfully. Now again, I was on the hook, I had full liability, I was responsible for any misfortune, theft, or loss. And then what happens after Pesach? Nothing. He comes back, I give him the chametz after Pesach, and good. Maybe we can argue that because you successfully did your shmirah, and you handed it back to him, so therefore maybe we can argue that it doesn't even... It's not going to be considered yours. Meaning, even over the duration of Pesach, it wasn't yours. It was only yours from a liability standpoint. No harm, no foul. There was no loss, there was no theft. I handed it back to him. So maybe we could look back over the course of Pesach and say, you didn't own it. You were liable, but you didn't have to execute that liability. So therefore, you didn't own it at any point in time. So you could have made that argument, kamash malan. The Chiddush of Lo Yimatzei comes to tell us that even if you don't have to exercise your liability, you are liable in theory but not in practice, that doesn't matter. As long as you had the status of being responsible, that's tantamount to ownership, and therefore you cannot own it. Essentially, again, there's a second version of the discussion, but again, the result, it yields the same result. That not only can you not own Chametz on Pesach, but... you can't even hold a non-Jew's chametz over Pesach and be responsible for that chametz over Pesach. It probably will engender in your mind the following question, which perhaps you're asking. So what do we do before it be Pesach? So we sell the chametz, right, to a non-Jew. What then happens? It's in our house.
Right.
Okay. Now, it's in our house, and presumably, we're going to then be responsible. Meaning, what if something were to happen to that chametz? So, presumably, we'd be responsible. And what the Gemara has just taught us, two different ways, but the same, yielding the same result, is that if you're responsible, if you're custodially responsible for chametz, it's tantamount to being yours. So it's a good question, right? So then how does selling it to the non-Jew gonna help you get out of the problem of ownership of chametz? Okay, and that's the answer. Meaning that right, I did a little bit of research because the question, right? The question bothered me as well. So I did a little bit of research, and whoever is buying the chametz, I can't imagine they're going to know all this, but whoever's buying the chametz, so actually it's stated that that you, the homeowner, are not going to have custodial responsibility over the chametz. Because if you do, as we just learned in the Gemara, that's tantamount to ownership.
What if you actually sold the space that...
Okay, good. So in other words, right. In other words, it could be, we're going to get to that in just a moment, it could be also that it's not just the chametz, but it's also going to be space as well. And that may change the dynamics of the sale. That's a very good point. And you're going to see, based on the Gemara coming up, that may help us as well. Okay. Bamine Meirava. And now, the Gemara is going to go off on a little bit of a tangent, but it's not really that far off. Meaning, we're going to leave the world of chametz for just a couple of minutes. But basically, this idea, I mean, really, it's conceptual. It's a fascinating idea. This idea of having liability being tantamount to ownership, right? It's great legal talk. The Gemara is going to basically try to explore this idea in other areas of halacha. For example, the Bamine Merava, Behemas Arnuna Chayevas Bebechara, Eina Chayevas Bebechara. Let me just give the requisite background just so we understand what's going on right now. We have a mitzvah in the Torah of Bechor, which is all my firstborn animals that are born in my flock. Now, we understand, I don't have a flock, but if I did, so all my firstborn animals are given to the Kohen, right? Part of the Matnas Kehuna. And I give the Bechor to the Kohen, and what does he do with the animal? He brings it as a carbon. It's a shlamim. He gets to eat the animal as a shlamim. Fine. Mitzvah Bechor. We also learned, remember, we did this in the very beginning, Bechoros. There's a loophole in the mitzvah of Bechor, which is the following. That if a non-Jew, if you and a non-Jew are partners in the Bechor, so then there's no Kedushas Bechor. Kedushas Bechor is only when the animal is born under the ownership of just Jew. But if it's a partnership between Jew and non-Jew, so then there's no mitzvah of Bechor. Okay, that's the basic background that you need to know. Beginning of Bechoros, we discussed it our first couple of days within the Masechta. Question goes like this. You're living in a government, and the government's demanding tax. Okay, nothing's changed in the last 2,000 years. And the government's demanding tax, and the tax back then was referred to as Arnuna. And specifically, this was a tax on the animals itself. On animals, and Rashi points out, on produce as well. But right now, let's just deal with the animals. We'll come to produce in just a moment. And Rashi says it's 10%. Okay, so could be there are other taxes as well. But in other words, 10% of your animals need to go to the government, the governing body. And now the Gemara's question is as follows. So now, every time you have an animal born in your lot, so 10% of that animal is owned by the government. Assuming the government is a non-Jewish entity, so now the question becomes as follows. Maybe that can help you. Maybe that's to your advantage. Because now it comes out that this animal is partnered between you and a non-Jew. Now again, not a person, an entity, a governmental entity, but so what?
Is that a partnership or a lien?
Okay, that's the right question. Stay tuned. So Bamine Merava, Behemas Arnuna, Chayevas Bebechora, Ein Chayevas Bebechora. So Kol Heichad Metzalik Metzalik LeBezuze Lo Kami Bayle DeChayev. So the Gemara says, look, if you don't have to actually give the animal to the government, but rather you can just simply give monetary equivalency of what the 10% is, so then you're Chayev in the Mitzvah Bechor. As Ben basically pointed out. So in other words, the animals are serving as a lien against the obligation. But it's not the actual animal per se that's going to be being given to the government. And so therefore, the animal is essentially yours, and the tax is a separate story. In other words, that's on a different account sheet. So you're going to be chayv in the mitzvah of Bechor. Ki kami bailan hecha de lo matzi masalaga bezuzay. The Gemara says, but let's now imagine that the government is not accepting cash equivalency of that 10%, meaning that 10% is going to be demanded in the form of animal. So now, question stands. are you going to be chayiv in the mitzvah of bechor? Meaning, can you now argue that since the government now owns 10% of your animal, so therefore it's going to be considered a partnership, Jew, non-Jew, over an animal, exempting from the mitzvah of bechor? So, amar lahu patura. So, his answer, very straightforward answer, exemption. Meaning, it is considered a partnership, Jew and non-Jew, over the animal. V'hatanya chayeves. So the Gemara says, good answer, but we have a braisa. And the braisa says, yechayev. So how's the nematz masalkei? So the Gemara responds to that braisa very simply. The braisa that you're quoting me is talking about a case where animals are serving as a lien, but not the actual animal itself has to be given to the government. So if the animal only serves as a lien, so then it's not considered a partnership, and then you're chayiv in the mitzvah of bechor. But if it's not a lien, but rather they're going to be demanding the actual animal from you, 10%, understood. But if they're going to be demanding actual animals, then that's considered a partnership. Good. Iga de Amre, now, again, same basic discussion, slightly different version. Amar Rava Behemar Nuna Petura Mena Bechora Ve'afagav Dematzi Masakle Ve'afagav Dematzi Masakle. Now, according to the second version, even if you can pay off the animal, nevertheless, it's considered as if he owned it. So in other words, even though the animal is basically only serving as a lien, still it's viewed as a partnership. Right? You and the bank over your house. Right? Are you the owner or are you and the bank partners over the house? So again, I'm not discussing it from an American legal standpoint. I'm just simply not qualified. I don't know enough. But in other words, basically what Rav is arguing in halacha is that, no, that lien actually represents a partnership over the animal. Now, that's fine, meaning let's just accept that as it is. The problem is going to be the next line. Isas arnuna chayeves pechala. Now, what if I have dough where the dough, again, government is demanding 10% of all your produce, meaning all your grain, and so now this dough is not totally owned by you, the Jew. It's owned in partnership between you and the non-Jew, you owning 90%, the non-Jew owning 10%. Doesn't matter what the percentages are. Even though he's a minority shareholder in the dough, doesn't matter. Point is that he owns a part of it. He says, and by the way, the halach is the same, meaning that dough owned in partnership between Jew and non-Jew is exempt from the mitzvah of challah. Here, afagav delomitz that matzim asalaklei, even if you actually have to pay the dough itself, and it's, in other words, and you cannot get away with giving the monetary equivalency of the 10%, you're still going to have to be mafrish challah. Okay, which is going to engender the obvious question. Why? Meaning, if we've established that 10% owner of an animal, even if you can pay off the government, that 10%, will exempt the animal from bechorah, from the mitzvah of bechor, so then why by dough do we say that you're still going to have to take off challah from dough that's owned by Jew and non-Jew?
With the dough, what if your 90% share comes up more than the 5-pound requisite?
In other words, it doesn't. The percentages don't matter. In other words, once he has shares, so then we just look at it as a joint ownership of Jew and non-Jew. So the Gemara says, "Matzah Masalke, my taima behema isle kala isle kala." So the words of the Gemara literally translate: people know that you have an animal, people don't know that you have dough. Now, I'm going to explain the Gemara. I know. You could give such a such an underhanded explanation of the Gemara. I'm not going to. Not for reasons of apologetics, but simply because I'm going to present the Gemara like Rashi. The way Rashi understands the Gemara basically goes like this. Look, when you have an animal is loud and large. Everyone knows you have the animal. And not only does everyone know you have the animal, but everyone, of course, knows that the government owns 10% of the animal. So when it comes to animals, it's a known entity that you and the government are partners over that animal. So when the firstborn animal comes out and you're not identifying it as a bechor, it's understood by everybody why that is. Doe, on the other hand, doe, not everyone understands that the government owns 10% of your wheat. And so what's going to end up happening is someone else is going to be in your kitchen, you're preparing dough, and you're not separating challah. And people don't know that the reason why is not because you don't care about the mitzvah. You do care about the mitzvah. But you happen to know that there's an exemption of Jew and non-Jew, meaning that the non-Jews own 10% of the dough. He doesn't know that, and so he's going to be looking at you, and he's going to be thinking that you're violating the halacha, otherwise known as marasayin. Right. So basically, because people know about the governmental's ownership of the animal, but people don't know about the government's ownership of your produce and of your dough, so therefore, by challah, I'm always going to tell you to be mafresh because we're worried about marasayin. But by animals, we're not worried about marasayin.
Why is it not
kasher and marasayin? Same basic story. Okay, let's go on. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, non-Jew walks onto your property on Pesach with a sandwich. It's fine. Good. What if he asks you to watch over it? In other words, he asks you to be the custodian, you got to destroy it. If, however, you gave him property, so then you don't have to destroy it. Because the Torah says lo yimatze. Period. End of the Braisa. What just happened at the end of that Braisa? Meaning, if you gave him a piece of property to put the chametz in, oh, then that's okay. What just happened over there? The Gemara asks that very question. My ka'amar. Amar ha'papa ha'resha kai v'hachi ka'amar. So our papa says, you're going to take that last statement of the Braisa and attach it to the first statement of the Braisa, and basically here's how it's going to go. If kido atzlo zakul levaya. Meaning that if you're asked to be a custodian, you have to destroy it, because as we just got done discussing earlier this morning, as a custodian with responsibility, that makes you, it's tantamount to ownership. Shenam lo yimatze. Okay, that is how, that's one way to approach the Braisa. Good. In other words, nothing changed. It's basically what we learned earlier this morning. Just we have to, the Braisa is a little bit out of order, out of sequence. We're going to take the third part of the Braisa and attach it to the first part of the Braisa, but fine. Okay. That's one way to resolve the Braisa. Another way to resolve the Braisa, Rav Ashi Amar Lo Olam Asefa Kai. Now let's leave the Braisa as it is, and let's attach that last clause of the Braisa to the point immediately prior to it. And here's what the Braisa is teaching us. V'hachi kamer yichei lo bayis, ein zakuk levar, shenemar, lo yimatze bevatechem, va'alav didehu, denachri, ki kama'ayol, lebesa denashay kama'ayol. Gemara says like this, look, it's your property. But if you rent him out space, and he's taking out the chametz too, his rented space, that's not yours, it's his. Oh, okay. So the Gemara says, now wait a second. When you're renting property, are you the owner? In other words, obviously as a renter, you certainly have rights to the property. But does that make you the owner? Based on the discussion we just had in the Gemara, sounds like that, doesn't it? It sounds like...
Liability.
Huh?
In terms of liability.
In terms of liability, you're fully liable. Understood. You're renting, you're going to be... Right. So lememra, dischiras kanya... So the Gemara says, you mean to tell me that because the non-Jew has now rented facilities on your premises, so that now makes him the owner of that? V'hatanan. The Gemara says, but we know otherwise. We know that's not true. Alpha Malkum Shar Malaskir, the Gemara Navodah Zarah discusses the following. Can I rent out property to a non-Jew? But when I say non-Jew over here, I mean an Oved Avodah Zarah, meaning a real idolater, not just a non-Jew. So the Lola Beis Dira Amru, you cannot rent them out a Beis Dira. Meaning, you can rent them out facilities, right, warehouses and silos, but in other words, but not living facilities. Why not? Because you know he's an idolater, and you know what's going to happen. He's going to bring idolatry onto your property. Right? You heard that? Your property. So now wait a second, can't we just make the same exact argument we just made just a moment ago? Which is that as a renter, don't you become the owner? Meaning by chametz, what do we say? Well, he's not bringing chametz onto your property, he's bringing it onto his rented property. But in the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah, why aren't we going to make the same exact argument? He's not bringing Avodah Zarah onto your property, he's bringing it onto his rented property. It's clear from the Gemara Avodah Zarah that just because he's renting doesn't make him the owner. So the Gemara says, Shani hacha dafke rechmana b'loshon lo'imatzei, mishe matzo b'yadcha, you have to say, sheno matzo b'yadcha. So the Gemara says, okay, the baseline is going to be that mishnah avodah zarah, meaning as a renter, you don't become the owner. A renter is not an owner. A renter has rights, obviously, rights of usage, but the renter does not become the owner. And that's why if it's a known idolater, and you know he's going to bring avodah zarah into your property, so you can't rent it out to him because he's going to bring avodah zarah into your property. Even though it's a rental, it still remains your property. So you can't do it. Why by chametz is it different? The Gemara says because it all comes back to lo yimatzei. Lo yimatzei teaches us that even though you are the owner of that property, but because he rented it out, and because all the rights of it belong to him, so the chametz that he brings in will not be a violation of lo yimatzei. Lo yimatzei tells us that in order for chametz to be yours under your ownership, it has to be on your property, but also accessible to you. Once he rents it out, that chametz is not accessible to you, and therefore you're not going to be in violation of lo yimatzei. It's really interesting, by the way, if you put all the Gemaras together today of what we get out of lo yimatzei, some interesting conclusions, meaning lo yimatzei, custodial responsibility is tantamount to ownership, but inaccessibility is excluded from ownership. Right? I don't know if you follow that all that, but you know, you hear that a couple times. In other words, play back the tape again. Listen to it again. And it's interesting, the number of conclusions we're getting from lo yimatzei. Let's just do a little bit more for today. I know we're out of time, and I know it's my fault, but let's just do a little bit more today. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Amotzi chametz bebeiso b'yom tov, kofa alav es akli. You find chametz in your house in Yantav, what do you do? So aside from the overreaction, which we're all going to be guilty of, right, and the emotional response, but now just, you know, put on our legal caps, what do? We take a cover. Okay, just take a bowl and put it over. So Amar Rav, im shel hektesh hu einu tzarech. Now, if it happens to belong to hektesh, so then that's not rooted, it's not necessary, my taima, mivdo bedila mine, because people know that it's hektesh, and people already are sensitive to, we're not touching it. Amar Rav, yudam Rav, chemso shanachri osa lo, mechitza asar tfach mishum heker. Chemso shanachri, if you do have chametz of a non-Jew in your house, so you should make some sort of partition. Now again, if it belongs to hektish, it's not necessary because again, we're predisposed to hektish, knowing we can't have any contact with it. So my tama mivdo bedila inish minei. I'm reviewed. I'm a rav. I'm the farish veyotze b'shayara kodem shloshim yomim zakuk levayer. So you know what? This will be our good stopping point because this really will segue into the next discussion of the Gemara. Okay, I'm sorry. I came late today. I'm sorry we fell a little bit behind. I'll make it up over the course of this week. Amir Sashem. Okay, a quick review. So today we discussed, really, our big discussion today was ownership. Meaning we discussed what exactly are the parameters of ownership of chametz on Pesach. What resulted from today's discussion is that if it's non-Jews chametz on your premises, on your property, that's not shochah, that's not yours. But if you accept, if you assume custodial responsibility, so then now that custodial responsibility, that liability, basically turns it into your chametz, regardless of whether you hold davar gorm lamamon kamamon dami or lav kamamon dami, it does not matter, because the Torah over here says lo yimatzei. So custodial responsibility basically turns it into yours. And then, a further discussion of the Gemara segued off into a couple of discussions about Arnuna and taxes, and whether that's also, whether the taxation is considered ownership as well, partnership in the animals and in the dough. And then the Gemara finished up our discussion today with, what if you rent him out space on your property? Can he bring chametz into that rented space? Gemara has two versions of the discussion, but the conclusion is, yes, he can. Why can he? Renting is, does that mean he owns it? No, it doesn't. Rental does not equal ownership, but once he rents it, then the chametz becomes inaccessible to you, and therefore you didn't violate lo yimatzei. Okay, that's our basic points of today. Mm-hmm.